pretty discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. You know, he's not trying to make trouble. He's just stressing out like every other fan. Well, there's good in every team. Things aren't always what they seem. You can always find a winner if you try. Hey, things will be better. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Oh, yes, they will for Parker and the man. Even though Mike Wilson, he can't understand. Parker and Wilson.
Well, Parker's just ready to go. He's filling up a little water bottle, doing the little podcast today from the Rob Parker compound once again. Kitchen area. You can hear it. I can see it. I'm looking at a skinny Rob Parker.
Thank you. Right?
He's like Skinny Girl. What's her name? Bethany Frankel with the Skinny Girl? I shouldn't know that, but I do. This is the podcast for the week of Veterans Day week. For the week of November 11th. In fact, tomorrow, Tuesday, is 11-12-13.
It's a trash-talking Tuesday!
You bud, it's a trash-talking 11-12-13. That won't happen again for 100 years, right? 11-12-13?
Okay, yeah.
Is that right? 100 years? I didn't want to say 1,000 years. We start by saying congratulations to Frankie, our boy Frank. Longtime listener of the Parker and the Man Show, was the winner of the ESPN Detroit T-shirt. Give it up.
Give it up. He got franked.
You got franked. Woo! Frankie got franked. Frankie goes to Hollywood. So he is the latest winner. If you want to win, all you got to do is email us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. Come up with a Rob Parkerism. It can be anything. First one to do so on the basis of how they come into the inbox, into the email at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. We'll win the ESPN Detroit T-shirt. It's how easy it is to win right here on the Parker and the Man program. I almost said 97.1.
I know, I was going to say lock it in and rip off the knobs.
97.1, Parker and the Man program. Your chance to win is here. And Twitter's blowing up. Follow us on Twitter at Parker and the Man. All right, we'll begin with Lions, Bears, business. Oh my, Lions win. I guess I'll ask you the question right off the bat. We always talk about being in or out and all that crap and stuff like that, but do they have your attention after a win at Soldier Field such as it was on Sunday?
No, not yet.
Okay, all right. Explain why.
I just, you know what, the win was a win. Like I tell you, I never discount winning. I never poo-poo winning. They won the game. I don't know. I just thought there was something about that game that still didn't feel good. I don't know. Jay Cutler's hurt, was hurt. I expected a bigger performance. You know, the Bears are missing who? Briggs?
Forget that.
It didn't feel that great or dominating like I thought it would.
Toss in my 3.5 cents. First of all, stop telling me ever again that Jay Cutler isn't a tough dude. This guy's got a groin that should not have been right for another couple, 3 weeks. Doctors cleared him to play. They weren't even thrilled about clearing him, but medically he cleared. So Mark Trestman said, are you good to go? He's good to go. I'm playing. However, Luke McCown became the quarterback du jour of the 21st century after really one good game is beyond my knowledge, but that happens in the league. Ask Matt Flynn, who the Packers are bringing back in this week, to see if he can go because they're missing so many guys, including Aaron Rodgers. But the big one, and you can't say this doesn't matter, the NFC Defensive Player of the Week was missing for the Bears. Shay McClellan, the guy who put Aaron Rodgers out in the Monday night game against Green Bay, who had the 3.5 sacks, who, again, won the award. He was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, did not play. I even made a comment on Facebook. I said that if it was a trade, if I had to trade people, I would have traded out Jay Cutler because I knew he wasn't going to be close to being, I hate the phrase, but 100%. I would have taken McClellan in the lineup over Cutler and gone taking my chances with McCown
but
in his second start.
McCown wasn't terrible or anything. I'm not saying I get
first half. He was very good.
I give him a lot of credit. And even Mark, they had a big touchdown, the run that came back from a hold. And then he throws a great ball in the corner that should have
250 yards passing.
Right, that was catching, juggled on the way down. I mean, it wasn't like he was missing everything. Was he? But you could tell he was in pain. You know what I mean? That's what you could tell.
Well, I thought Mark Trestman made a couple of mistakes yesterday, and one of them, and it had nothing to do with not putting Cutler in. It had to do with his post game. First of all, if I'm Mark Trestman, I have to make a decision. Jay, I just am not confident with you in there. McCown, yeah. Has the guy played much since 07? No. Did he shine against the Packers? Yes. He was a Lion in 2006. Didn't play a down, because that's the year John Kitna played every down for the Lions in Rod Marinelli's first season. He was a Lion, Luke McCown. Secondly, Josh McCown, Luke's his brother. I would not have admitted to my Chicago Bear fan base after the fact that, I probably should have put Cutler in earlier.
You mean McCown?
No, Cutler. I mean, yes. I probably should have pulled Cutler and put McCown in earlier. Pulled Cutler earlier in the game. I would not have admitted that. I would have said, no, my decision was at the time, as we were playing, that he was the guy and good to go. Until he told me otherwise. And I don't know if the ankle thing is really a thing. Well, he came out because he had a bad ankle or something happened to the ankle. I don't know. You know, whatever the case may be, the groin problem itself was enough to show me that he probably should not have started against the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, he played well. I think in the second half is when he looked gimpy, and at that point, I think there was a couple of times when I thought, okay, this is the time, you know what I mean? And he tried to give it a go, and then finally they decided that it wasn't going to happen. So again, the Lions win. They do what they needed to do. They take two from the Bears, sweep the season series, and they were in first place by themselves. It's all set up for them.
6-3. Bears are 5-4. They've already got more wins the Lions do than they had all of last season. First win in Chicago since 07. I love the first half. This is how easy the first half was. It started with touchdown passes by both Cutler and Stafford. Then each team had a fourth down stop. And then tied at 7, DeAndre Levy, who keeps making picks, his fifth of the year, picks Cutler in the end zone, end of the half. It was done at 2:10 in the afternoon.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever seen a halftime in the National Football League at 2:10 in the afternoon.
Well, they were also running the ball. The clock just kept going. It wasn't
no penalties.
No penalties. There was no stoppage. It was like playing in gym. You know when you had running clock, or you played in those days, just play running clock.
I checked. The closest any other game was to halftime when the Lions Bears were already in the locker rooms was 6.5 minutes to play in one of the games. That I think it was the St. Louis game where they were, the Rams blowout of the Indy Colts, which is stunning, in Indy, right? 38-8. But we'll get to those other things in a bit. But that thing went quick, and all of a sudden, I mean, there were teams still playing the first half when the Lions Bears came out for the third. Give it up to Calvin. He did pass Herman Moore's all-time record for touchdown receptions in a career. He tied it with his 62nd, and then the third touchdown was the 63rd. That passes Herman Moore in all-time touchdown passes. Matt Stafford did not quite get to passing Bobby Lane's number. He has about 60 or 70 yards to go to pass Bobby Lane all-time yardage in Lions history, and that will be just about every record, passing record, believe it or not, Matt Stafford will own in a short period of time.
Why do you say believe it or not? He's thrown the football more than anybody over his time as a quarterback. Last year he had the most pass attempts in the history of the National Football League. Mm-hmm. So when you're thrown at that clip, and over the years where the Lions have had no running game, all these
stats...
Well,
it's more of an indictment on how bad the Lions quarterbacks through the years have been.
Well, that too.
They haven't developed anyone for a career.
It's a combination, though, Mark, but you've got to admit he throws the football a lot.
He's only been around 5 years.
Yeah, I know.
Bobby Lane was around for
decades. Well, this is a throwing league now. This is not a running league. I mean, the whole league...
when I hear that, though.
Go look at the numbers. You have more 300-yard games than all the other things that you've ever seen.
Who holds the all-time record for passing yards in a game? The National Football League.
Yeah, but that's
current.
But that's a fluke, Mark. That's a fluke.
Norm Van Brocklin.
I understand that. That's a fluke back then. They used to run the football. The first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards was who?
It was Namath.
Joe Namath. That's in the 60s. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they never threw the football, but I'm saying now... Quarterbacks throw the ball more now.
One of the longest standing records in the NFL still is Van Brocklin's 554.
You could give me all those yards. How many passing yards does he have in a playoff game?
Van Brocklin?
No.
Oh.
Stafford.
Stafford?
Yeah.
Well, he's only had one.
Okay. That's my point.
I'm not going to set that record anytime soon.
That's my point.
Obviously, you saw the end with the 2-point conversion failing twice. The Bears were that close. They had two shots at it. Willie Young had the penalty. And then fairly with a great stack up on Matt Forte to finish off the game.
Matt Forte, he wasn't elusive at all yesterday. He got caught by everybody.
I would say not. They held him to 33
right.
yards.
I mean, it was an unbelievable performance in that Matt Forte just couldn't get loose.
He did a good job.
Reggie Bush, 104 yards, went over 100 yards. And Marshall and Jeffrey each had over 114 yards for the Bears on the receiving side of it. So it wasn't the best offensive performance by the Lions, but those are games they used to lose on a consistent basis. Am I stunned that they won in Chicago? Remember what we said last week on the podcast? I picked them by one, thinking that if McCown plays, I'm picking you by one. And if Cutler's in, which I didn't expect to happen, I really didn't, and then as the week went by, you could see the progression. I said, he's not going to be right, so I'll still hold a 21-20. Now, the final score was 21-19. That's the score predict was 21-20 Bears. So that was an L on my sheet. That's now, I'm off by two. I had picked the Washington game as a loss, and they won that game. And I picked the Bears game as a loss. They won that game. Without seeing anything, although I want to give it up to Rasheen Mathis and Don Carey. I thought they played really well yesterday, which is, we never give it up to defensive players, but those two guys played very well. Pittsburgh is up next. There's a whole big deal with Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh now. They're talking about the Steelers are denying that they're trying to trade him or they want him out of town. Roethlisberger thinks that he's pissed, very angry, because he doesn't think they're protecting him, doesn't think they're backing their guy. Guy's got Super Bowls.
Look what they've done. They've stripped Mark. They won't pay people. Look at all the receivers that have left. I mean, seriously, now you want him to do what with what? If you keep letting these guys go, Mike Wallace, why is Mike Wallace not in Pittsburgh? They didn't want to pay him.
They were the first, when the league started to become this cutting guy thing, because to save money, Pittsburgh was in the forefront of that. James Harrison is in Cincinnati because they wouldn't pay him to stay in Pittsburgh.
They don't want to pay these guys. They use you up, and then when it's time for you to cash in, Mark, you know what they say? Bye-bye. See you later.
One of the first to do it was the whole Rooney family thing.
They're not going to pay these guys, and that's why these guys kill me. Why would you go play for Pittsburgh or Philadelphia? There's a lot of places, Mark, that won't. You'll play well. I always remember Hugh Douglas in Philadelphia had you know a great couple of seasons for them. It was time to pay. They wouldn't pay him. They wouldn't pay him. So you look at that stuff and you just say to yourself, why do you want to play there? The players should look at organizations that don't do it and should look at it and say, I don't want to go there.
The only problem is because of the no guaranteed contracts, it happens everywhere.
But there are teams that to me.
Well, Pittsburgh has a rep.
There you go. That just seemed to do it
which
more.
Which is weird. You wouldn't think the Steelers would be
I'm
that
I'm not
big.
Talking about paying guys who are so-so or also rans. I'm talking about proven guys who have done a lot of work and put up a lot of numbers offensively or defensively who aren't getting taken care of. You're putting your body on the line.
That's your boy Gene Upshaw. That's the original deal. It's 25 years old now.
Can you talk to the
Coffee
people?
Talk?
Talk to the people on the podcast about me and when we had Gene Upshaw on the air. Remember? Did I not go at him?
About 15 years ago, right?
Right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. This was already 10 years after that deal had been started. And that was 87. That was from the initial strike.
And we went at it, and I just said, Gene, I just don't like the deal. I think it's the worst deal of any organized labor, you know, union. It just didn't even make sense to me.
Well, because they're not protecting guys when an average career is 3.5 years of people who play in the league.
So it should be guaranteed money. I don't even understand that.
Of all the sports.
Of all. Don't you think, if you're an NFL owner, this is me, I'll give you a 3-year guaranteed contract, Mark. After that, injured, not playing well, whatever, then I can make a decision on whether or not I want to keep you. Do you see what I'm saying?
You
can make a decision that you can go somewhere else and get more money. I think that's fair.
Do you know what that also would have averted over all these years? The injury stuff. If you guys got guaranteed deals, there's no more conversation about that. We'd still have talks about concussions and whatnot and about making it safer for guys. But the financial end would be there because owners would just say, wait a second. I'm already giving them guaranteed contracts. They're getting paid. If they go down in the first practice, they get paid. See, right now, all you're in for is the bonus money. And you can eventually dump guys. And there's even these little pockets of games. 6 weeks in, if you're on PUP, physically unable to perform list. There's all these little things that I think comes back to the idea of what a terrible deal it is for the NFL Players Association. But all they had to do to avert all this conversation over the last decade was to have guaranteed contracts.
And this is the other part. And I know fans, you know, oh, they make too much money. It's the, if you were in these jobs, you would understand. The biggest problem I have, Mark, is you sign a deal, right, that's only ironclad from ownership standpoint. They could come back to you the next year and say, oh, Mark, we'd love to keep you, but you have to take a pay cut in order to stay on the team. Otherwise, we'll cut you. So what deal do you have?
Just the bonus money. I said that. That's all you get.
Right. You don't have a deal.
And if you walk away from the bonus money, as we see now,
then you got to give that back. So you don't have anything.
You've done really nothing. Except the bonus money that's in the bank that you banked and you played for.
You have. Right. Right. That's all you have.
All right. So what do you think about Sunday against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, in the Berg, after the Steelers did win their game 23-10 over Buffalo? Roethlisberger had an eh season. They've had an eh season. They're not very good right now. You know, obviously, the Lions Nation is going crazy. Guess who called me yesterday and already said, book your reservations for Jersey, you know, in February or whatever the freaking Super Bowl.
I just threw up in my mouth. Please, tell me who called.
Come on, you know who.
Who?
Champy!
Oh.
Gave it, laid it all out, how the Lions were, if they should be.
Did he bring up the year that he said they will win 10 games? Oh, let me see. What year was that?
He won't bring up history. He doesn't want to talk about history.
Was that 0-16 or was that what year was that?
I think it was 7-9. I don't think it was 0-16 year. 0-16 year, he had 10 wins.
10-6, I think he.
Well, you know, it's funny about that year.
Don't forget, Mike O'Hara in the Detroit News had how many wins that year?
No, he had
nine.
No, well, nobody picked zero.
But he had nine.
I think we picked like three or four.
Yeah, it wasn't. I know it wasn't zero.
Well,
but
we
wasn't
never picked high.
But it wasn't nine. Well, I mean, they haven't given you reason to pick.
No, we've been right. That's the point. I'm still going to go. It's an L on my sheet. I'm going
to
stick with the L against the Steelers.
Right? Otherwise, it would make no sense. Well, it's still a road game, Mark. It's not like they
could amend it.
If they blew the Bears out and steamrolled over them, maybe you could look at it and say, man, this thing is all clicking on. I didn't see that game. I don't know what game you watched, but that game I didn't see.
No, I'm not the one. I'm still of the
Did
mind.
Did the defense not give up the march down the field for a game time?
To McCown.
To what could have been a game time.
To Luke McCown.
Josh.
Whatever.
What could have been a game time touchdown.
Same guy.
Right? I mean, it wasn't like they made any plays there, so I'm not there yet.
So we both are on the line with the loss to the Steelers. Okay, I'm going to make a pick. I just want to make a pick so I can have a promotable. I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins in a – but what's the weather like? That'll be a factor. I'll go low scoring. I'll say that they actually hold them. I'm going to go with a one-point game again. I'll go 20-19. Isn't that low scoring, I guess.
24-20
Pittsburgh. So about a four-point win, I got a one-point win. Other NFL yesterday, you said the Jags wouldn't win. Jags won.
It was unbelievable. On the road to score 29 points, right?
At Tennessee.
Game? Right. And they were up big to start the game. It was unbelievable. And
Denard Robinson. Four carries, 3 yards.
Very nice.
Good for Denard. He was part of the win.
Isn't that unbelievable when you look at the guys in college and then they go to the pros and like
3 yards is a big day for Denard
like
Robinson.
Just a total non-factor.
Well, at least he got four touches. He talked about that at the Michigan State game. Denard said that he would start playing more. Wink, wink, for the Jags.
I think he touched the ball more on the sidelines at Michigan than he did in the game.
Come on, don't you think it's cool? Look at this. How many times is this going to happen? Chad Henne, a former Michigan quarterback, handing off to Denard Robinson, a former Michigan quarterback. How many times does that happen?
And you see the results, right?
Well, they got the win.
Well, they got the win, but it wasn't that great. So
you know what this goes to show you? How really hard it is, Rod Marinelli, to go 0-16.
I told you that. I said that. I didn't say they were going to go 0-16. I said they.
You said get a win.
I said they get a win. Mark, it's almost impossible to go 0-16. It really is. That's what makes that.
And what about Tampa?
An unbelievable. I think Tampa's going to beat Miami tonight.
Oh, you think that's a done deal? Monday night we're doing this, by the way.
Monday with all the stuff that's going on in Miami, Mark. And you should go check out my column on theshadowleague.com.
Okay, well, there you go. Promotable.
It's about what should happen in the future in Miami. Which is basically that Ireland and Philbin have to go. I mean, it's just the culture there, everything that's going on.
All right, let me just bring this up real fast, okay? Richie Incognito, we haven't talked about it much. Give me an overall thing with you on Richie Incognito and this whole story, because it's such a there's so much back and forth and weird stuff and Tweety and Twitter and who. How do you wrap it up? People said, what do you think about Incognito? I went, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I think he's a bad guy who's always been a bad guy.
I think he's Jekyll and Hyde.
No, I think he's a bad guy. Because
he reads the kids. He has a foundation.
That's nice.
Does some good stuff.
Okay, but that's nice. But the other stuff, bad outweighs good. Always. I don't care what the other guy. Because, Mark, the guy got kicked off the college. We're at Nebraska, right? Then he get kicked off his college team. He had problems in St. Louis. The guys called him a scumbag or something, a former player. So he was
a lot of scumbags in the NFL.
Oh, that's okay. But I'm just talking. We're talking about him. So I'm going about him. And this whole thing where he feels so comfortable to call somebody and call them the N-word and leave a message and text people and all that, something's wrong with that guy. And I blame that locker room and those black players who now are all, well, Richie's not a bad guy. Well, you know why they're defending him? Because it looks bad on them. That they allowed that to go on. I talked to NFL players who said, what? You know, like they can't even believe the conversation and the dialogue that was going on and people knew about it and didn't do anything about it or told him, dude, don't you say that word. Mark, you think I would feel comfortable with us in the studio and when we're off the air, you're throwing around the N-word and you're doing all that? You think that would happen? First of all, you would never do that because you have too much respect for me, okay? So for that guy to think it was cool and he had the kids back and all this other stuff, total BS, total malarkey, the worst thing in the world. I'm telling you, if I was in that locker room, that would not have taken place. Not under my watch.
See, I'm glad I talked to you. You know why? Here's the perspective you just gave me. Every time I see these stories now with Twitter, it goes back to even Kwame. When I see all the text messages between him and Christine Beattie, and I go, boy, I really don't care. It's not my business. I don't know what to make of it. Now I see this story, you know, give it up to Charlie Villanueva. He's really the first one that got in trouble for tweeting. You remember that?
Yep.
Back when the NBA told him, don't do this. I don't even know what this is. A lot of them didn't know what it was. Scott Skell says, I don't even know what he's doing. I don't even know what that is. What do you mean he's in the locker room twittering? Skiles didn't even know what that was.
Nobody knew what that was. What do you mean? What are you doing? Right.
What followers? What are you talking about? Skiles had no clue about it. Every time I hear these stories, someone needs to give me perspective now because so much stupid stuff. How about these two chicks at the Halloween party who wear a costume, the Twin Towers burning down? Their costume in England was the South Tower and the North Tower. Two hot babes.
There was some other guy who did two guys, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. Could you imagine going to a Halloween party dressed up as those two guys?
How about the woman in Michigan, Alicia Lynch or whatever, we know her name, from Bay City, who dressed as a bombing victim at the Boston Marathon.
I saw the video of her. Just, do you want to talk about poor taste? Seriously.
But do they think that they're going to now have, because I think she wants a porn career. I really do. I think she has naked pictures of her online, people found. This is what this culture has started, this whole culture. This goes back to Incognito. This is what this has promoted. It's out of control is what I'm saying. So you just offered me perspective because I always go, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
But do you
I don't know what to say to people.
You know where I'm coming from, right? Mark, we've been friends for a long time. Really, Mark? Really?
But that doesn't even come. I don't even think of it that way.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to. For somebody to now claim that he's a friend of somebody, I'm going to slap your mother in the mouth. Did you hear that voice?
I know, but we shouldn't even. This is my point. If you don't commit it to the text, and you don't put it on paper, and you don't take pictures, and stick them on Instagram.
That's where we are now. That's where we are. It's a totally different. I agree. You would think to yourself, why are you doing
this? What possible crap do you have to gain out of this, except crap?
Totally different. Totally just a different world. Mark, the only time we would be on a recorder, seriously, I mean, think of the number of years we lived without answer machines. Come on. I mean, just think about it. And now you're going to leave. You know, people get caught up all the time. How about when people kill people, their wife or their husband, and Mark, no, this makes sense. And you know what they do? The week or month before, They go on their computer and they check in how to kill your wife with, you know, like how to strangle your wife.
Right, no, they found a lot of those things. Well, yeah,
it happens all the time. How to poison your husband.
I think people leave Facebook messages.
Okay, so this is what I'm telling you is that would have never happened before. You're putting out, Mark, you're leaving a trail. You know, that doesn't go away. You could erase, they got your computer, hard drive, they take it to the police station, and they see everything you ever looked at. Everything.
The scariest thing of the weekend, the whistleblower dude in the NSA, not NSA, the TSA scandal, was on Bill Maher Friday night. Bill Maher said, very simply, you know what he does? He turns to the crowd. He says, right now, if I pointed to anyone in this crowd, could you find out everything you wanted to about him? And he goes, yeah. Anybody, anyone, give me a phone number. I'll get all the information you want.
Sure, I believe it.
I get all their text messages. I know where their social media is at. I'll have their bank accounts. I'll have everything you want to know in a matter of minutes. He said, that's what Obama can do. He said, but that's what George Bush can do. We've been doing that since the invention of this computer, of this technology.
There's no way of getting around it, Mark. They store your information. People always think there's no way of getting around it.
Have you left, like, you've left some racy texts, I'm assuming, for somebody and whatnot?
Are you kidding? Yes. Yes.
Do you ever now look at them and go, I know that if I get caught, somebody knows that they could find this information. I know it. I'm doing it. I mean, even the incognitos of the world know when they're saying what you said they said with the N-word and whatnot. He knows in the back of his mind, somebody somewhere can save these and find these and use them against me at some point in my life.
I guess. I mean, but you know what? Nobody, I don't think people live that scared. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain
There's
a certain degree of stuff. You know what I mean? And you also, you're not sending it out willy-nilly to anybody. You got to kind of have a feeling for somebody.
They're your friend. They're someone you trust.
That's
they're not
going to
take you to the thing.
They're not going to go run exactly to the newspaper or whatever. And so you know, we all take that chance. You know that. We live in a different world. Come on, you get pictures, you're like, oh,
pictures.
Hey.
I'm going to start coughing.
Hey, I'm going to need some water.
Yeah, give me a little water.
That'll be $4.
Other. Well, you got me going. Now I got a little froggy in my throat. Ooh, a little froggy in the throat. Other NFL Week 10. New Orleans 49-17 over Dallas. The New Orleans Saints are the first ever team in the history of the National Football League to register 40 first downs in a game. The record had been 39 until the Saints got their 40th. No, I'm good.
Just
yeah, actually, it's better to have that water than ice-cold water. So that's fine. Your thing is cold enough for me.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. Monty Kiffin, at 70 years of age, it was a bad experiment.
Stealing money.
How about Jerry Jones saying that, to people, I think I regret firing Rob Ryan now as the defensive coordinator, Rex Ryan's brother. I think I regret it now. With Monty Kiffin right there. I think I regret doing that. Two of the last three games, the Dallas Cowboys, the opponent has registered 600-plus yards, when in the history of the franchise, that had not happened. And they've been around a long time.
Was it 2 years? Or no. I thought it was last night.
What?
The Saints had 600.
625. Right. Two of the last three games, they go up 600-plus yards.
Oh, okay, yeah. But last night was the most ever in Dallas.
Ever in Dallas history.
In history. And I was like, Mark, I don't even know what to say. That franchise is so bad, really. It really is bad.
Mark Ingram had 145 yards rushing. This guy came in, I think he'd fallen over and gained three, and that's what he came in with. Dallas is really a strange team, but, you know, the Saints, I don't know what to make of them. You know, they win the Super Bowl a few years back, still got the same quarterback, still got basically a lot of the same guys. They go through that whole scandal with the bounty gate and all that stuff, and yet they're coming out of it, and Sean Payton is still their coach after being suspended for a full year. It's a really weird situation down there, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of them. I mean, they're still obviously in the hunt, but I don't feel as good about the Saints as I did a few years ago. I don't know why, and I saw how potent their offense is, but then again, I look at the Cowboys, and, you know, sometimes, Mark, you got to wake up and just say, and then, you know what, Rob Ryan deserved to be fired in Dallas. Defense was terrible. Let's just be honest.
It may be bad now, but it was bad then. It may be worse.
It was bad last year. Yeah. It just was. And maybe it's personnel. Maybe you don't have the right players and people who can make stops and do the things you need to do. Again, we've seen this with teams now. Remember a couple of years ago, Green Bay gave up the most yards that ever. You know, like you're seeing teams now that don't have players. I don't know, on the defensive end. I don't know if it's the throwing of the football. I don't know if it's the pass interference rules, Mark, on how you defend people and the hits and all the other stuff that goes on. It just seems like it's harder to defend people than it ever has been. That's what it looks like.
I will give the Cowboys some credit, a little credit.
Thanks, Charlie Hayes.
While the Detroit Lions will offer the Walled Lake Central marching band for Thanksgiving halftime, the Cowboys are getting Selena Gomez. That's pretty good.
That's big. Yeah, very nice.
She's pretty hot.
Well, who's the musical guest, though, for
Tony Luca? I told you, the guy from the X Factor, The Voice or something.
What?
There is no music. There is no big guest this year, Rob. They're not doing it this year.
Why?
I told you this.
I know, but
there's no Motown, there's no Nickelback,
or
even, there's no Bon Jovi.
Thanksgiving, why?
Yes. Tony Luca, a Detroit kid who was in The Voice.
So what, are you going to sing one song?
Gonna sing. I don't know what he's going to do. Then it's the Walled Lake Central Marching Band, which is cool because I pass by it every day. And then they're going to do that play 60 card thing. And they're giving the fans the eye black. And for the black people, they're giving them the eye white.
The eye white. Thank you.
See, we can use that line.
Leave us out, right.
I don't want you to get douched by that.
Lucci Incognito said they're giving them the NY.
Well, wait a second, though. Selena Gomez. They get Selena Gomez. How come they get Selena Gomez and we get the Walled Lake Central Marching Band? Probably. I don't know. She's still Selena Gomez.
No, I know.
She's smoking. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, how about the Hail Mary and then the Ravens coming back to win? The Hail Mary was just... I mean, A.J. Green just kind of picked it out of the air, just right there at him.
No,
how you doing?
Again, what are you defend? What are you supposed to do, Mark? You know football. You're supposed to bring the ball down to the ground, not tip it up. That's not. If you got enough to get your hands on it, you have to be able to swing the ball down to the ground.
Look at you demonstrating.
Am I right or wrong?
To the crowd.
It's not basketball. You're not supposed to tip the ball up. You're supposed to grab. Hit it down to the ground. I don't even know how many times have we seen that.
I've never seen a defense miss two guys more than the Baltimore Ravens. With Ray Lewis's retirement and Ed Reed leaving, it shows
and even
you,
after that, they still won the game somehow.
Still won the game.
Which is amazing.
I kind of went, never mind afterwards because they
after
came back
that,
and won.
Right, after you usually have to give up a play like that, what happens? It's a wrap.
It's done. Momentum and all that. Justin Tucker, though, came back and won the game for Baltimore with the field goal in overtime. And Tavon Martin for St. Louis. I said this on draft day when I was on 1090 on draft day back in April. I said, this kid from West Virginia, I know he's 5 foot nothing, and he weighs 100 pounds wet, is going to be something. And sure enough, he showed that with that 38-8 win for the Rams over the Colts yesterday on Sunday. And he had 300-plus total yards, and he's looking like, it's too bad Sam Bradford is out for them right now. Kellen Clemens didn't have to do very much with that kid around, but that was a startling performance by a rookie in the NFL. Get to college football. Michigan dumped by Nebraska. I was in Ann Arbor yesterday. Last night, I told you I went to Ann Arbor last night. And it was very strange for me, but I survived it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. What I'm talking about is having to take my nephew and my sister to Michigan. He had his official tour at Michigan today. He wants to go to school at one of the three places. I think it's down to kind of Michigan, Vanderbilt, and maybe Stanford, maybe Cal. And, you know, I felt bad because I've tried to persuade him to Michigan State, won't go. And I said, look, you're a smart kid. You should go to Michigan if you want. And I will come up there when you come up. And he had his thing. They showed up last night. We went to Sava's, downtown Ann Arbor. So we can watch the kids walking around and get a flavor of it. Took them over by the stadium, by Chrysler, Yost, all the new facilities over there. The new baseball, amazing. The Wilpon Complex, donated by the New York Mets owner, Fred Wilpon.
If only he had money for the Mets, it would be great.
Right, you start spending some money on them and not just Michigan, his alma mater. But it was very eerie to see the stadium at night last night after the pounding, well, I'd say pounding, defensive pounding that Nebraska gave Michigan. I mean, I've never seen this. Minus 21 yards rushing after minus 48 against MSU. Minus 69 rushing yards the last 2 weeks, and Michigan's been outscored 46-19. Brady Hoke is getting a lot of heat. Does he deserve it?
Oh, absolutely deserves it. Mark, this season here, people always look at it and say, well, if this happened or if that happened, let's be honest. Akron should have been a loss, and they could have lost to UConn. And to see what they've done, and now you know what it is, Mark? It's just simple as this. Is Brady Hoke going to get fired at the end of the year? No, he's not. They have a chance to lose these last three games, which will be 5 in a row.
At Northwestern Saturday.
At Iowa.
At Iowa, and of course Ohio State.
Okay, so they can lose those three games. And maybe they split the first two and then get blown out by Ohio State. That's not going to look good. The bloom is off the rose when it comes to Brady Hoke. I said last night on Sports Final Edition, is it Brady Hoke or is it Brady Joke? I mean, this is where we are now. People are going to look and say, I don't know, is this the guy that's really going to get us there? Because it just doesn't look good. And I think people expected this school to be making some strides this way when I think definitely it's taken a few steps back this season.
Michigan got 0 votes for the latest poll, deservedly so at 6-3 now. Although this is, again, the slap at the B1G, the Big Ten. Georgia has 3 losses and is number 25 in the poll. Michigan has 3 losses and ain't even getting a vote for the poll. Not even on the, you know, the hot buzz after the right. All those schools on the bottom of the poll that still get a vote or two. Didn't get one. Georgia's in the poll with three losses. That's the respect for the SEC and not so much for the B1G. Tommy Armstrong Jr. in for Taylor Martinez and Amir Abdullah really showed me something, because I'm telling you this. I had nothing on my radar after the way they beat Northwestern with the Hail Mary that said to me that Nebraska was coming into Michigan and beating Michigan. That's why it was startling to me, because I did not... You see any way Nebraska wins? No, I don't. They have their number... I think he's more like their number three quarterback is in for the most part. Taylor Martinez is their regular guy. Their other quarterback struggled against an Ofer the season Northwestern and just a Hail Mary beats them. And now you're going to tell me they're going to come into Ann Arbor? No, Michigan will write that ship, right? They'll write, they always do that. That was what I said. So to see this back-to-back, do you know from 2000 to 2012 how many times the Michigan offense had had minus yards rushing in those 13 years?
Nuts. Oh, one time.
2003, in the Oregon game, they had minus 3 yards rushing. Only time since 2000 before, back-to-back weeks. And in that game, you know who the quarterback was?
Who's that?
Speaking of the St. Louis Rams, it was Kellen Clemens. The quarterback of the Rams now was the quarterback. It wasn't Joey Harrington. That was a year after Joey. For the Oregon Ducks back in 03. When that was a famous game. That Lloyd Carr lost that game. They started to question whether Lloyd had gone on. And he lasted another, 7 years or 6 years, whatever it was. So Michigan now has the Northwestern game. There's the battle of two teams that just lost to Nebraska Saturday at Evanston, 3:30 on BTN. Did you see Mary Sue Coleman's halftime thing? This is getting huge play today.
Didn't see it.
Rob, go online. It sounds like she's drunk. It does sound like there's something wrong with her. I want to sing.
Why can't she be drunk? It's a football game.
Well, she's doing a speech. But she's not. They said David Brandon and everybody else said, nope, Mary Sue Coleman had nothing to drink. She was not messed up. She wasn't smoked up. She said there was a problem with the audio. She couldn't get, that's why her speech was slow. Rob, I want to thank the coach. I listened to this and went, you got to be kidding. This is the president of the school. This is the normally pretty affable, pretty holier-than-thou Mary Sue Coleman. And I clicked on this thing, and listen, I didn't hear it during the game. I don't think they played it during the game. But I listened to it. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. People had to have been, mortified, 115,000 strong, listening to their president of the school talk like that. It did sound like rap song. I was going to say, David Brandon's a great guy. The coach is Brady Joke. Brady, I call you Brady Joke now, Brady. Don't worry about it.
Does she call it Brady Joke?
Brady Joke. If you see the Mary Sue Coleman thing, you'd make your own evaluations. MSU is at Nebraska. Very incestuous this football season.
Can you talk about AMU? What are we talking about?
I'll get to that in a second. Michigan State, 8-1, 5-0 at Nebraska for first place in the Legends. They're number 14 now in the country, the Spartans are, to control their fate. They win out. They go to the Big Ten title game, probably against Ohio State.
It's waxed.
Langford and Hill really just have to do what Michigan's running backs could not and just keep doing what they're doing. Jeremy Langford's had 100 yards rushing past four games. And the Michigan State defense is now officially number one overall, number three in points against, allowing just 11.6 a game. But they're 100th in passing yards on offense in the country, only 189 per game. Yes or no, Michigan State wins at Nebraska, I know what I'm going to get, on Saturday.
Yeah, they should win.
You think they will win?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think they'll win.
Why?
I think Nebraska has something here the last 2 weeks. You're at Lincoln. It's never gone well for the Spartans in Lincoln, ever. I guess you got to do it before I can tell you that they're going to do it. I got to see it with my own eyes. I hate to say it, Sparty people, but I am picking State to lose to the Cornhuskers on Saturday at 3:30 on ABC. Do with it what you want. I thought you'd give me some props for not just Rolling with the homies.
But you're not a home. You're not a home. You're
rolling with the homers.
You're not a homer. I think you look at things pretty fair and honest.
I'm not doing it to not be. I'm not doing it because watch me. I'll be a big hero because I'll say that state won't win. And I'm thinking, wow, you got that right. You're so cool. I just have it's Lincoln. If it was in East Lansing, all day to tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, that's why I call a home field game. That's a home field game. That's a true home field advantage either way. In East Lansing at Spartan Stadium or in Lincoln. I think in Lincoln they lose that game to Nebraska. You think they win?
Yeah, I do.
Good. It's a nice little battle.
Yeah, going in, I think they should feel, I just think they should feel really good about what happened when Michigan had a week off to prepare. They should be ready, Mark. If you're going to make that move, right, and the defense has played as well as it has, here's your chance. Go on the road. Take that show on the road.
Boy, Minnesota's 8-2. They're still not in the top 25. First four-game conference win streak since 73. And did you see Jerry Kill, who can't be on the field because of the seizures? He's in the press box. Did you see him dancing in the locker room after the game? Dancing, flat-out dancing, like doing this number. Here, I'm doing the number in the middle of the circle. Was it too much against a win over Penn State? I said no. Let him celebrate a little bit because he's had so many bad times with the seizures and whatnot in the last few years. So I'm going to give him a pass
give
for that one.
Mark, give him a pass. What's wrong with
because,
you?
Because, Rob, he was celebrating like they were going to the Rose Bowl. It was a win. They got a win. Good. They're 8-2. Give it up for Jerry. I think that's great. 4-2 in the conference. They haven't done that in years. So I thought that was okay. All right. Ron English, fired at Eastern Michigan. 11-46 was probably enough to get that done. But now it comes out that there was language, that a football coach used language. Bad language. If you did that for every football coach or college coach or any coach that had bad language, there'd be nobody left. But did they throw him under the old proverbial busage with the language thing, or should they have just held to the 11-46?
You know what? When I really listened to that tape, and I got it from an alum who, gave me the unbleeped version, the full-blown thing, that was ridiculous. I'm sorry. That's unprofessional in a learning
institution. Can you do some of it for us now?
What? Some of that? No, I can't do that. But
was it worth it, Keith Dambrot, when he did his thing at Central Michigan?
I remember writing about that with the Free Press. It's bad enough, Mark, it's bad enough to have that record, 11-46? But then to compound it with what he said and just the whole... where was the alumni attack about, I don't respect anybody who ever played here? And where'd that come from? You mean Charlie Batch, who played 15 years in the NFL? Really?
Yeah, Eastern's had quite a few good players.
Mark, that was like...
Kevin Walters, wide receiver.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
I just thought he like lost it or something. And
can I be honest about Ron English for a second? I've always felt since he took that job that he felt it was beneath him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And like, he should have had a better situation and circumstances. And now things aren't going well.
Like kind the only of place...
damaged his football career,
right,
as far as... what kind of guy, like this guy can't do anything. You know what I mean? Like it kind of exposed him. Would that be a fair word?
Fair.
Okay.
Because it's almost like he felt all the years, he was at Michigan. I'm Ron English. I'm better than Eastern. I'm better. It's like the only place I can work is down Washtenaw Avenue between Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. It's the only place I can work, right? I felt there was a chip on his shoulder from day one. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, Ron. But I've talked to Ron English on a number of occasions, and I know how he feels. In a way, about his career, I know that he had big, lofty goals. I think he thought he should have been maybe the coach at a UCLA or at a Pac-10 program or a bigger program, or maybe even somewhere else in the Big Ten. And I don't know if that all came out because it just, you finally let loose when those situations are over and the paycheck's not coming anymore, and you feel like you can say whatever you want. Stan Parrish, another Michigan guy, is the interim head coach, and I know Stan was there. In my opinion, Stan was there to kind of keep an eyeball on Ron English, I thought, in a way. But what do you make of that? Do you think that you said you agreed with me on the fact you thought it was beneath him, at least?
Yeah, I just think that he, at one time, there was aspirations of being something at Michigan, right? And here you go to...
maybe being the head coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And now you're at Eastern Michigan. Things aren't going that well. And it can be frustrating to be in a program where, it's not getting through and they're making the same mistakes over and over. You drive yourself crazy. But to take it out on the kids the way he did, I thought was wrong. I just thought he was wrong all the way around the board. And I don't blame the university. They should have just fired him. They didn't have to go into all that. But that tape was was pretty, you know me, I'm not like some squirmish, politically correct guy. I was bothered by that tape, talking to 19 and 20-year-old kids. I just thought it was, it's not the NFL. Are you in the NFL? With grown men who are getting a paycheck? These are kids. Not at a university. I'm sorry.
Not at Eastern.
Not at a university.
So, Jim Harkma, it stays 25 years since your last success out there in Ypsilanti. Coming up on the podcast. I love when he does that.
Let's break.
You still do the
thing. How long we got? How much we got? How much do we do?
We did about 40 minutes.
That's right. Let's break.
Coming up, we'll, big basketball games in Chicago tomorrow. Number one versus number two, Michigan State, Kentucky.
Lose.
Also coming up, some Pistons business, Wings business, some shout-outs. We got some baseball business to get to, including the Hall of Fame ballot that Rob Parker has a vote for, the Hall of Fame. And speaking of Hall of Fames, we're going to talk about the Radio Hall of Fame, too, that I think Rob will find quite enjoyable. But first, this commercial ad placement courtesy of Robert Lee Paca, Jr.
That's right. Don't forget, for the best haircuts in Detroit, go to Sporty Cuts, 7 miles between Outer Drive and Myers Mark, home of the $10 all-even haircut. Matter of fact, I need to get in there tomorrow. I need a haircut. And $8 for boys. So there you go. $10 for men, $8 for boys. It's called Sporty Cuts, Best Haircuts in Detroit, 7 Mile and Outer Drive. Hey, Mark.
Yo.
Go get Sporty Cut.
Another reminder, you can email us, and if you have a Parkerism and you're the first one to, you'll win a ESPN Detroit t-shirt at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. We've got our Facebook page, very easy to find. Friend us, go to the fan page, whatever we call that, Parker and the Man Facebook page. And on Twitter, at Parker and the Man, we got a nice, speaking of a couple of shout-outs, we got a nice picture. I haven't showed it to you yet. Rick Renner, my boy who used to work with me in Lansing. Dan Gutowski worked with me, too, at the same time. He's now at Fox Sports Southwest. And I brought up Nancy Lieberman, who does the Oklahoma City Thunder pre- and post-game shows for them. And John Radigan, Johnny Rads, who worked in Flint, who's been there a long time, sent me a nice picture. I want to show it to you of Renner, Nancy, and Radigan saying a nice hello to us. So a shout-out to those guys. A shout-out to my boy Notch up in Minnesota. You can follow him at Notch17, I think. Isn't that what it is, Will? I'll find out again. But just go look for Notch, and you can follow his Twitter. He's got a lot of people on his Twitter page. Shout out to Robin Leach. Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, one of the many shows they're redoing, like they're redoing the Star Trek TV show now. They're redoing.
What?
Oh, yeah, they're doing a new Star Trek. Oh, there's a whole list of some shows they're resurrecting that the networks are bringing back.
No ideas. I wrote a sitcom 8 years ago. I'm still trying to get an original idea on the air. And they're remaking
Star Trek, yeah.
They remade the Munsters that was on NBC for 3 episodes, Ironside that was on NBC for 3 episodes. Come, are you serious? These executives, Mark, are so lazy.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous will be hosted by Nick Cannon, your Mariah Carey husband, and your host of whatever it is he hosts.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
America's Got Talent. Anyhow, my shout out to Robin Leach in the Las Vegas Sun for his beautiful tribute of Charlie Trotter, who passed away last week, the one of the first celebrity chefs. Following, like, the Galloping Gourmet and Julia Child, there was this long period where we didn't count chefs as anything.
I remember
they were cooks. We called them cooks back in the old days. He's a cook. He wasn't a chef. Now chef is like doctor. You say, hello, chef. You actually call them by their title. Well, Charlie Trotter kind of brought that back with his initial restaurant in Chicago, 1987. He passed away. Weird stuff went on last week. He's had a couple of weird months. 54 years old. And, again, one of the original celebrity chefs. You know, before there was Bobby Flay and Cat Cora and the Simons and Mario Batali and all these now, there was Charlie Trotter and his great restaurant in Chicago, which I ate at many times. So Robin Leach did a nice tribute. So shout out to Robin. Go to VegasDeluxe.com and read Robin's stuff. You all know Robin Leach. Still doing it at like 70 whatever years he is. Still covering the Las Vegas celebrity beat for all those years. Any shout-outs for you?
No, you got it. Shout-out.
Shout-out.
TV executives. I have a sitcom that I'm trying to get produced.
Well, then, here, make your pitch.
They already know what it is.
Oh, okay. Back to this business of the basketball tilts on Tuesday in Chicago at the United Center. Number 2 MSU, number 1 Kentucky. Spartans are 1-0. Kentucky's now 2-0. Early season indicator, Izzo against Calipari at the United Center. Rob Parker, what do you expect to happen when those fabulous freshmen, they almost want to call them a Fab Five, of John Calipari in Kentucky, Julius Randle, James Young, and the rest of them, and the twin guards, Andrew and Aaron Harrison, go up against Gary Harris, Keith Appling, Travis Trice, Brandon Dawson, and the rest of the Adrian Payne, House of Payne, and the rest of the Michigan State Spartans in Chicago on Tuesday night on ESPN 7:30.
I don't know. Well,
Wait and see.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, Michigan State, they're the second best team in the country, right? They're supposed to be able to win this game, right?
Just don't give me wait and see, and I'll tell you why.
No, Ron, I'm not saying wait and see.
This is a side note. Saturday night, Ron Bellamy is now the analyst for David Solano after the Michigan games. He's the head football coach at West Bloomfield High School. He played at Michigan, played the NFL for a minute and a half. I think he didn't get the sweet roll.
Did he have a cup of coffee?
He had a cup of coffee.
Okay,
yeah.
No sweet roll.
I counted nine. I might have been off one. My plus or minus one. One game at a time.
Oh, stop.
He said it nine.
Stop.
You got to take them one game at a time.
No, I'm not into that.
My two pet peeves are we'll just have to wait and see one game at a time.
I tell people all the time when they say that. No, that's not what we do. Well, we have to wait and see what Brad Ausmus does. We don't know what he's going to. Of course, that's what we do. No, we're going to sit back and not mention him for a year and a half. And then all of a sudden.
Wait and see.
I mean, when you hear that, it's like people telling you, well, that guy wrote that because he's trying to sell a book, right? It's the same.
You love that one.
Same premise, right? No, he's not trying to sell a book. Doesn't even make any sense.
Well, we had the phone call at 97.1. The guy says, Rob, you're just pissed because, Jose Canseco is only writing about steroids because he's trying to sell a book. And you went crazy.
Right. That's why people write books, is to sell them. I mean, I don't understand it.
Nobody writes the book to not sell the book.
You know what with Tom Izzo, Mark? I'm going to be honest.
Here we go. You come up here twice.
Once. No, he said once.
Never.
Twice. I'm so over Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo, to me, is a non-factor. I'm just going to give it to you straight.
You're so tired of Tom Izzo.
I'm tired. It's a tired act.
You just made anybody who's been in their job for 18 years.
No, but it's tired from this standpoint. It's always the same.
Number two in the country.
Right, but it's the same thing. They never get there, Mark. It's the same thing. We've been waiting 13 years for another championship.
Well, if they beat number one in the country, would it get your attention?
No. What do you mean? And if I want to see Tom Izzo to win another championship.
From the moment. He can't physically win a championship in November.
But none of this matters to me. This is where I am with Tom Izzo and the Lions. Tom Izzo, win another championship, and then I'll believe in you again, or I'll think that you got something going on. The Lions, win a playoff game, and then I'll throw you that parade. Until we get there, winning in Chicago, Mark, Cutler with a bad groin. And the same thing, Tom Izzo, win all the games you want in the college season.
Cutler with a bad groin.
Win all the games you want, and everybody, ESPN, they bow down to you. Oh, you're so great, your program. Look at your record in Final Fours. Oh. Do you remember the national championship game here? Everybody, Mark. Oh, Tom, they're going to win. They're going to beat North Carolina. This is good for the city. Blah, 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 blah. Tom Izzo. Oh, what a great story. Blah, blah, blah. 5 minutes. Game over.
Wait.
Mark, the bars, you know what? They couldn't even get any crowds in the bars after the game. You know why? People had left already. Nobody hung around. Hung around for what? Was that game over 5 minutes or not?
The one at the North Carolina game a few years ago?
Yes, the championship game.
Roy Williams blew them out.
They got blown out. And I'm tired. Michigan State is a stale story to me.
It's a stale story. They're number two in the country.
What do you expect? They're going to win a championship this year?
I expect them to win a national title with the talent that they have.
This year. Okay.
And if
they don't, what would you say?
If they don't, then they'll try it again next year. Okay. I don't know what else to say. I mean, success breeds success. Sometimes you have so much success, but you don't win at all. Hit the pinnacle. I don't know what to tell you. I've seen the opposite. I don't want Michigan State basketball back to an 8-11 status or something. I don't want to go through that again. This guy continually wins 25, 26, 27 games. He's gotten to six Final Fours. I'll take that because I've seen the other way, and I don't want to beat Purdue. Since Gene Katie left, they talk about non-existent. Are they still even in Big Ten basketball? They used to be such a powerhouse year in, year out. They didn't win championships. Snowing?
No, just coming down. My goodness. No, I got you, but I don't think you understand what I'm saying, Mark. Okay, we
gave
him.
I understand what you're saying. You don't want Tom Izzo to be the coach anywhere for 18 years.
No, we gave him the parade. We've already praised him. There's been more.
What if I fired him and Dwayne Stevens was the head coach? Would you be in?
There'd be more. No, it's not about firing Tom Izzo. It would be.
What if Dane Fife were the coach?
No, that's not. It's about going out and everybody telling you how great you are, and you don't win. That's what I'm tired of. I think it's so old and boring and tired. Okay, Tom Izzo, oh, what a program running at Michigan State. Oh, Michigan State is a great basketball program. Oh, no pros come out of Michigan State. No titles in 13 years. It's the same old thing. Tom, let me tell you something, Tom. The only reason you won a title, you have 4 NBA players on your roster. You forgot that? 4.
Was it more than 4? It was more than 4. It was Mo Pete. It was Mateen. It was Richardson.
Charlie Bell, wasn't he on that team?
Well, but what's Andre Hudson went to the Milwaukee Bucks. That was 5.
All right, but you get my point.
You get your drift.
That's all.
How many on the Spartan team now? Probably 1. Gary Harris.
Yeah, but that's what I'm. At some point, I don't
maybe
even
Keith
know.
Applin?
I don't know why any player seriously.
Adrian Payne probably in the NBA.
Of like NBA quality would go play for.
I know you've already mentioned that.
I wouldn't. Why would you go there? That's why everybody's mad at Calipari. You know what? His guys come in, one and done, and a top pick. You see, what was it, last year?
John Wall.
How many got to have?
Yeah, 4.
4! If I'm a basketball talent, and this guy has a pipeline into the NBA, and he lets me play, and he doesn't overcoach and stop me from showing my talent, it's a no-brainer.
That's why Booker's going there. That's why Booker's going there.
And he's not going to badmouth me when I leave after 1 year or whatever like these other coaches, Mark. Come on, Calipari's got... Why should he... He's making loot. Why should he stand in the way of these kids from making
moves? No, he doesn't. He welcomes them. He welcomes them for 1 year.
I'm not a John Calipari fan, but I understand what he's doing, and I understand why kids want to play for him.
All right, so that's the Kentucky-Michigan State game.
I'm sorry.
No, you're first in my bubble. You have the thing with Tom. I think it's great that you fired that up with him.
I'm the only one. Nobody else. Who else takes on Tom Izzo?
Nobody.
No, right?
You know why? Because he's perfect.
He's perfect.
He's got a perfect family. Lupe, he's got Rocky and Steven. He's got everything. Nice house. He's always available. You want to talk to him on the phone, you call him up on the cell. He talks to you. He'll do anything you want. He comes over. He does the thing at the Midnight Madness. He's the perfect man, if you think about it.
Right. And he, for whatever reason, everybody wants... I don't have to be on his team. I told Tom Izzo before. We had a
there was sarcasm in there, T-Izzo.
We had a knockdown drag out. And we just talked about it, and he thinks I have this vendetta or something against Tom. You've done nothing to me. I don't have anything against you.
You didn't go to Michigan.
I didn't go to Michigan. I'm not one of these.
People say you went to Michigan.
They do. Oh, he's a must be a Michigan guy. No, I'm from New York. You see the sweatshirt I got on?
Columbia.
Thank you. So
my nephew and I talked about Columbia yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
The football
he wants to go see
not
it.
That great, but it's a great school.
Yeah.
So it's not anything about that. It just isn't. I just think Tom lost his way. I just thought he lost his way when he stopped going after guys.
You think he should have taken one of these NBA jobs?
And he'll never get another one. No, that's a wrap. Because of that whole Cleveland thing just didn't go right, and I don't think they'll come back to him. Especially now he hasn't won in such a long time. Tom's on the back end.
Tom Gores ever bring up the idea of Izzo again this past year when Mo Cheeks... got the
no,
gig.
His name didn't. He
even come
even,
up.
Didn't even come up one interview.
Even privately, never came up.
I never heard his name.
Okay, Oakland U, by the way, plays number 22 UCLA after losing to North Carolina. Give it up to Greg Campy for playing UCLA and North Carolina back to back.
Why not? How, Mark? You know what? Nobody expects you to win. Your kids get some exposure. You get some cash for your university. You know what I mean? Don't go out there and give up 200 points, but you know, try to play with them.
30th year, Greg Campy at Oakland U, and he's playing North Carolina and UCLA. Never thought I'd see the day they even play those teams. Now they've beaten Tennessee twice in the last 5 years. Pistons are out west. Here we go. Here's the numbers, Rob. They're 2-3 with the season, obviously. They start the trip in Portland. That's tonight, Monday night. I did the count. Here it is. This is not good at all. 19 straight losses on the road to Western teams.
Well, this is it. Right. You want to change the culture and change what's going on. I like the team. I do. I mean, I know they lost to Indiana and to OKC. Mark, Indiana's undefeated and OKC is a pop. I'm not going to sit here and say that
they could be the NBA final.
Well, it could be. I mean, those two teams are really good. So I'm not knocking them. And did they compete? Yes, they competed. It's not like there's no moral victories or anything like that. But I like this team. I think they got some players on it. They're going to win some games out west. It might start tonight.
At Golden State Tuesday, then Sacramento and the Lakers this weekend.
So they can win 3 out of 4. So right. The Golden State game, Mark, will probably be the hardest one for them to win.
Here's the last win was at Sacramento, obviously. Sacramento stinks. March 14th, 2012. Before that, they had lost 17 straight games on the road to Western teams. So in their last 37 games, they are 1-36.
That's what you are when you're a bad team. When you're a bad team, that West Coast trip, if you don't go out there, Mark, a lot of times and win game one, it snowballs on. It's a tough ride.
And by the way, the team that they beat even before that was Sacramento again. The only team they've beaten in the last 3.5 years on the road out west is the Sacramento Kings.
I'm going to say bank it. Book it. They're going to
book the win again against Sacramento or another team.
They're going to beat Portland.
They beat the Blazers tonight on a Monday night.
Yes, that's what I got.
I saw a couple people write this. As Brandon Jennings goes, so go the Pistons. Yes or no, do you believe in that?
Yeah, part of it. He's a big-time player. He really is. And, I like his game. He can shoot, Mark. He can do a lot of things. So he's a big part. But, you know, Josh Smith is another one. They got some players. And Andre Drummond, he got in some foul trouble. He's got to stop getting in foul trouble. Because when you take him out, it changes the game. There's some snowflakes, too, today.
Just getting to the Red Wings, they've lost 3 in a row again. They're in the streak thing. They're 9-5-4.
They lost 4 in a row,
then 1-3, then now have lost 3 in a row again. 2 in overtime. 5 of the next 6 are at Joe Louis. Tuesday against Winnipeg, team they lost to out west. Then they're on Long Island Saturday. Get to see the Wings and the Islanders. Rob, how are those season tickets coming? Can I get a couple?
We don't have them anymore. Me and Camille, after we got divorced, we gave them up. Are they on Long Island?
Yes, sir. I'm at Nassau. Yeah.
You know, this is the last year of the Nassau Coliseum, Mark. Mm-hmm. The Islanders are not changing their name to Brooklyn, but they're moving to Brooklyn. And even though the arena is going to be like one of the smallest in the NBA and the NHL, you know, it's only seats. The configuration will only allow to seat 14,500 or like less than 15,000.
Just enough per the NHL to allow them to play there.
Right. But the NHL also knew, Mark, as far as venue, that they would be better off having them there than out on Long Island, where things, you're not getting a new arena, and attendance hasn't been great out there either, but you know, just to have enough seats.
You know, people might get fooled by this, but Henrik Zetterberg, your captain, 10 goals and 20 points through the first 18 games, which is more than a point a game, and Pavel Datsyuk at a point a game with 18, and Daniel Alfredsson, in his first year as a wing, with 13 points. They're still 20th in the league in goals per game, and 20th on the power play. Mike Babcock, that ain't going to fly if you want to win something in that new Atlantic division and in the East this time. Even though the Wings are just 2 points out of first behind, what, Toronto and Tampa, that's a little scary that you got good numbers from Zetterberg, Datsyuk, and Alfredsson, but you're 20th in the league. That doesn't kind of jive, so other guys have got to kind of do some business. And I want to do a little shout-out here.
Shout-out.
To Toast of Hockey Town, the benefit for the Red Wings Foundation, that is this Wednesday at Joe Louis from 6 to 9, they asked me to mention. It's a little pricey, it's $200 per ticket, but a lot of it goes to charity, and you get a great night of food, wine tasting, there's a silent auction, all sorts of cool stuff. Red Wings will be there, players, alumni will be there. I'm sure Eddie Mio will be there, my boy Eddie will be there. For tickets, again, it's Wednesday, so you only got a couple of days, you can actually get them at the door too. It's like a strolling thing at Joe Louis, so it's all general admission. 313-471-7579. That's 313-471-7579 for tickets to Toast of Hockey Town. They used to do that more in March, I thought, but they're doing it November 13th this year. So you only have a couple of days, well, a day probably by the time we're posting this. I want to bring, before we get back to baseball and finish up with baseball today, Paul W. Smith from WJR was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame this past weekend. It's nice of Rob to give him up to Paul W. from WJR.
Why not?
Charlie Steiner went in with this class as well. Those are the two most recognizable names until I tell you what else happened. But Paul Dubs is a Hall of Famer. Rob, can you explain why we're not in the Radio Hall of Fame? This is the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago. This is the big one. This is like the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's
we
like
pay out $500 dues.
Now, Steve and Gary from Chicago, Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer, were supposed to go in together because they were together for 15, 16 years.
What about
years.
Dick Biondi?
I think the Wild Italian's already in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
so
okay.
Is Dick Pertin. Steve Dahl said he would not go, so he didn't show up. He made a stand because Gary didn't want to be inducted with Steve. They want to be inducted separately, even though Steve, in his infinite wisdom, said, look, you ain't nothing without me, buddy. You have a grudge match. In Steve's mind, is he said, the only place he wants to bury the hatchet is in my skull.
Wow.
They had a little reunion in 06, 07 for a minute, and then Gary passed. Gary's doing better. Steve's doing a podcast right now. All these weirdos with freaking podcasts. What's their problem? Podcasts. Are they dumb?
The radio business is dead.
No. Steve's doing well with the podcast. Gary's still on WLS in Chicago or something, I think, or GN, one of the two. So Gary was there in tuxedo. I saw Art Volo. Our boy Art Volo was there from his little Michigan, and he was at... Art Volo told me on Friday, it's the first, I saw him at the post office, it's the first Michigan home game he's missed in 30 years for anything.
Wow.
He's never missed one, but he felt he needed to be at the Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in Chicago. So Steve, who by the way, Mike Valenti and the rest of you guys, if you want to thank somebody for 97.1 being where they are, thank Steve Dahl. Because remember when Dahl did the afternoons, he was syndicated in Detroit on 97.1. He pulled the plug. He didn't want to be on anymore. They had a riff with the management team at the time, and that's when they hired Dominski and Doyle. We came right after him a month later, and everything changed at that station.
Yeah,
it could have been a music station again.
Yep. And
so thank your lucky stars that Steve Dahl, who was unsuccessful in Detroit again, he had been here back in the 70s, pulled the plug on it.
I remember when I called Mark, and I told him about the station, 97.1. And Mark, Gonzo Gregg was doing doing... morning, midday show or something. Morning.
Who's now in Las Vegas, by the way.
Gonzo Gregg.
Yeah.
And Mark was like, ah, I don't know about it. I said, Mark, can you just call? Just make a phone call. Am I right? You were very reluctant to even call.
We were a month out of DFN. Right. I didn't want to do anything. And,
I was like,
and he was like, oh, let's get back
let's
and
get
do
back. Something. Yeah, and you know what? We got right back in. It was great.
Well, that's a story for another day, because that's a pretty good story, how that all worked out. If we have never, I think we've told it maybe one time, somewhere.
Right.
Maybe on CHB or something.
Yeah, well, we got our bonus, too, you know, so that was good.
So, anyhow, Steve did not go. Just like Howard Stern last year was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, refused to show up. He had his own issues with the Radio Hall of Fame. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, on one of his shows on Sirius XM, one of the reasons he battled whether or not guys like Dick Pertin should be in the Hall.
Why?
Seriously.
Based on what?
Howard's idea was, if we're going to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry, pardon the pun, from around the country into this Hall of Fame, I don't know if I want to be in this Hall of Fame. That's what he said.
Well, one thing I will admit, and I'm not saying this has nothing to do with Dick Pertin, because I think he belongs.
And he's in and he belongs. Of course,
Dick. That's not the issue. But I understand about him. You know, I talked to you about to get to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Right.
Everybody can't get in, Mark. So when you're picking guys who are okay.
Could Charlie Steiner be in the Hall of Fame?
What is he, radio for doing the Dodgers?
Well, his body of work in his career.
WCBS in New York or whatever. I don't know. I know Charlie Steiner is a baseball announcer and a TV guy from ESPN, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know his career. I need to look it up. So I'm not sitting here bashing Charlie Steiner. I just don't know his radio body of work. And obviously,
what about your radio riffraff?
Radio riffraff. But I'm just, one thing I will admit, and I've always said this to you, everybody can't get in, Mark. Some people are very good and they don't belong in.
Should we be in the Hall of Fame, yes or no?
No, we should not.
Oh, come on! Well, here's the anti-Hall of Fame. I just want to mention this. If you get a chance, Dan Cilio, the guy in Miami who got fired in Tampa for saying three monkeys, calling three players monkeys.
He got in?
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Got fired again in Miami. You've got to read, speaking of Twitter, he did it again. He called for a bounty on his own personal Twitter. He played football at University of Miami. On a Florida State player. It wasn't even Jameis Winston, the kid that's up for the Heisman. It was some other player at Florida State. I will personally pay you $1,000 if you take this kid out, quote, end quote, on his personal Twitter.
He's got issues. Okay, so.
So WMEN fired him on the spot, saying even though it wasn't on our station Twitter, we don't even want to condone a guy asking to injure a player
right.
from a rival school, or any school for that matter, but certainly Florida State.
What show was he doing?
He was doing middays. After Sid Rosenberg, who I think you know from New York.
Who they gave him another opportunity after the stuff that Sid did.
He's had some real issues. But Cilio now, I think this is four times in 3 years.
He's been canned.
What, MEN? I already checked. I don't think they're hiring anybody.
WMEN, men?
Men, WMEN, yeah. And down in Miami, doesn't do any number, doesn't do any rating. That's how low in the food chain are you? That's where that station is, behind three
like
other...
Nothing.
Like nothing. I think it's in Fort Lauderdale, and they're almost rated in the Fort Lauderdale / West Palm Beach area rather than the Miami area. And I don't think they even buy the books, so I don't even know their numbers. But Dan Cilio is his name, but you've got to read his response tweets. It'll blow your mind. I could see him. He was so angry as he was typing.
Angry that he got fired?
You could tell. Well, he's kind of a piss off WMEN, good luck to you, ha ha ha. He wrote that. He apologized in his own Dan Cilio way, saying, maybe I was wrong to put a bounty up, but I still want that kid taken out. I mean, dude, you got some serious issues. Dan, take your money, do your show, go home. Why don't people ever learn that lesson? Here's a guy that just keeps getting work, keeps getting gigs, but doesn't learn to live.
Right. I mean, that's the thing you got to keep always wondering about.
All right. Speaking of that, before we get to the Hall of Fame ballot that you have, MLB awards are this week. They start tonight, Monday night, with the rookies of the year. I thought we'd just throw out some names, see what you think, see what sticks, and just make picks. Here's my picks. You tell me what you do. Rookies of the year we'll start with. As much as I would love to see Jose Iglesias, I'm cognizant of the fact that after he had that great start in Boston, when he came here, bottom line is he had .238. Now he finished .303.
He was not the guy at all who was hitting in Boston.
Well, he was almost a .400 for a number of weeks. We had .400 until like late May or something. So when he came here, he did not hit great, but he still finished .303. So it's the body of work too. Will Myers, kid comes up, Tampa turns it around, and they become that. You know, they do their thing. So I'm going with Myers over Iglesias. And in the National League, Jose Fernandez was doing things that have never been seen by a rookie. Second in the National League in earned run average. I know Yasiel Puig is the favorite because of the name, and
I don't know if he's the favorite. Everybody keeps saying that. Like, Mark, when they had the big for the All-Star game to be put on as voted,
no, he didn't win. Yeah.
So he didn't win. A lot of fans didn't go into it. I'm with you on Puig. I thought he had a big impact. He's an exciting player to watch. But when you see, like you say, the numbers that Fernandez is going to win this.
Yeah, from the Miami Marlins. It was really incredible. You got to look at him because his numbers have been.
And the people are like, he only pitches one every fifth day. Dude, if you don't know baseball, dude, it's a big deal for a guy to come up and finish second in the league in ERA. Are you kidding? Right. And AL, what were the other choices?
Myers over Iglesias.
And who was the other? Those are the two finalists?
Yeah, for the most part. There's that other kid, the Cleveland pitcher, Chad Allen.
Okay, yeah. No, it'll be Myers. And that was a trade that, you know what, Kansas City needed to make, Mark, and I think they made the right decision because they got pitching and look where they were this year. They were in the mix. I like it.
Managers of the Year on Tuesday, who do you like in both leagues? Who deserves it more? Because you got the Francona-Farrell thing. There's no question about that.
I would give it to Francona. And I know people say...
Really?
Yeah, because... For them to finish one game out and make the playoffs with that team and roster, Mark, for all the stuff that went on in Boston, it was ridiculous that they were so bad in the last place because they have talent. Let's look at it this way. The Red Sox have the third highest payroll in baseball. John Farrell, what magic did he run? Okay, things kind of got back together. Lackey came off of surgery. Mark, a lot of things went right. But Terry Francona, you really thought the Indians would stay in the race all year and finish one game behind the Tigers? No, I don't think so. And make the playoffs?
The only thing I'll give you with Francona over Farrell, I wanted to pick Farrell. In fact, originally I had, but the more I think about it, he took Ryan Rayburn off the scrap heap and got a full season of significant run production out of Ryan Rayburn. That's an example of what Francona did in Cleveland.
You know how many times
you're right. There's an aberration factor with Boston.
They weren't
with
that
the one-year
bad.
Bobby,
you know
Valentine.
What I'm saying? Like, Mark, that wasn't a Red Sox. Got 100 and what is their payroll?
170 million.
$70 million. Well, they're not supposed to be in the mix. Absolutely, they are.
So you like Francona over Farrell?
I know they probably won't happen because they want. Well, I don't know when the vote was after the end of the regular season. So he still might win.
What about National League?
Naturally, I got to go Clint Hurdle. I mean, Pittsburgh, Mark.
I agree. There's a lot of sentiment right now for...
Clint Hurdle, I'm sorry.
Not Mattingly, but who was there? Who was the other one that I saw? It didn't matter. To me, Hurdle was the manager of the year. Anytime you haven't done something for 20 years and you finally do it...
You finally get over the hump, and you know what? I think he did a good job with that team.
Cy Young on Wednesday. Go. American League. Come on.
Well, Scherzer, I mean, he has the ERA.
You tried to make you Darvish a candidate.
No, I didn't say that. I told you the cybermetrics people. I didn't say it was me.
Even the sabermetrics people are now looking at the sabermetrics of Max Scherzer and saying these even still beat you, Darvish. I think it's Scherzer hands down.
Yeah, I don't know how they can go. But then again, you know, we saw Cy Young winner win 13 games.
Had nothing. I'm not even bringing up his 21 wins.
I know, but I'm just saying we have seen it. That was the year CeCe won 21, Mark.
And, well, he won 31.
21, and King Felix won it. He had 13 wins.
National League, I had a big jiggy for Craig Kimbrell, but that's over with. Clayton Kershaw.
You can't count the postseason. Why are you?
No, Craig Kimbrell in the regular season.
Was he? He was
50 saves. His ERA was nothing.
I thought you were talking about.
No, he was my favorite. No, I wanted Craig Kimbrell to be the Cy Young Award winner.
But I thought the postseason when he gave up that. Did they blow a game or something?
No, I'm not looking at the postseason.
Okay.
Craig Kimbrell was my favorite. I was not in on Clayton Kershaw until I saw this.
No, his numbers are through the roof. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Since the 1968 year of the pitcher and the mound was lowered in 1969, only one pitcher put up numbers, the whole stack of numbers that Clayton Kershaw did this year, and that was Pedro in 2000. That's it. No Randy Johnson, no Greg Maddux. This was the stack of numbers. I can't give them to y'all. We'd be here all day. But his complete stack, his line, if you will, no one has done that other than Pedro since 1968, since the year of the pitcher, since Denny McClain won 31 and everybody, there was a number of pitchers who had great years. He's the first one to do that other than Pedro. To me, Cy Young Award again. Sorry, that was enough for me. When you have those significant hooks,
gonna have a
that's
hook.
What
when we talk
me.
About all this, I'm with you. I mean, for us to sit here and debate what? I'm with you.
MVP on Thursday. Is there a debate with Miguel Cabrera? And I'm going to give you a number on Cabrera for all you. I almost said Steve Trout. For all you Mike Trout fans that are holding the Mike Trout sabermetrics thing, I've got one thing to tell you, but you go and you tell me what you think about Miguel winning that award.
Yeah. I mean, he should win it. I don't know why they wouldn't vote it. I know he had the last, 5 weeks or 6 weeks where he had two home runs.
It was basically terrible.
Right. But he had such numbers and had put so much in the bank that he's able to survive it. And what did Chris Davis do? We batted 281 or something?
He had the 50 home run. He also struck out almost 200 times.
No, people don't care about strikeouts anymore. That used to be a big deal, Mark. They don't care. They don't.
A couple hundred of them?
Yeah, but they don't. They don't. Because he had 50 home runs and he had how many RBIs? 51 home runs and 100 and...
Right with Cabrera.
It was like a couple RBIs from Cabrera. But I think the batting average is a big difference. 281
Close. To a batting title.
There you go. So I think Cabrera should win.
And by the way, here's the number on Cabrera if you want to take it to your Mike Trout people. The only person since 1938 with his slash line, meaning his numbers, his batting average, his on-base percentage, his OPS, plus the 44 homers and the RBIs, is Jimmy Fox. That's it. No man. Think about that. That's 75 years of baseball. Only one person can match that slash line that Cabrera put up this year. Not even counting last year's.
Right.
This year was that Jimmy Fox number, 1938. Does that do it for you if nothing else did?
Yeah, no. I mean, again, we always talk about you got to have numbers. You got to have impressive things that people look at.
All right. That's the awards this week that start actually tonight on Monday night at 6 o'clock.
I like the way that they're bringing out the awards, and they should give people a... You know what I mean? Like, you stroke baseball, and remember, in the old days, it was never like that.
All right, let's finish a little... Well, first of all, we'll get to the Tiger business at the end, but Hall of Fame ballot. Here's the big names. You tell me you got the vote. I'll just give them out to you. Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, Frank Thomas, Mike Mussina are the big four new ones. Rob, of those four, did you already fill out your ballot?
No, I didn't get it yet.
You haven't got it yet. Which way will you go? Glavine in, yes or no?
Yes, Glavine has 300 wins.
Maddux, yes or no?
He has 300 wins. Those are automatics.
Frank Thomas with not anybody telling me that he had a steroid thing in life. Well over 500 homers. Frank Thomas.
500 home runs is automatic for me. I mean, you know me, I'm pretty consistent. There's certain numbers you have to reach for me in order to be a Hall of Famer. 300 wins and 500 home runs, automatic for me.
Mike Mussina.
No.
Moose not in. Okay. There's a lot of debate on Mussina.
A lot of are. You know, Mussina, remember, Mark, he won his last year before he retired? How many games did he win?
20 games.
Yes. It's a 20-game winner his last season. But yeah, how many lifetime wins do you have? 210?
No, more than that, but I think he's 100 games over 500.
That's what he is?
Yeah.
Is that impressive to you? It's
pretty impressive to me. Does a pitcher never get in a starter if he can't win 300? I think you have to.
No.
I think that
no.
has to be relaxed a
no,
little
I'm
bit.
No, I'm just saying, but it's not that. It's just that 300 is automatic. That's 300 is automatic.
Who's the last starting pitcher that got into the Hall of Fame that didn't have 300 wins?
I don't know. I have to take a look.
I mean, by the voters. I mean, Blylevin finally got in. It took him 300 years.
But also, you got to always remember that, too, is there's some people in who got in through Veterans Committee, which they had to get rid of because a lot of guys, all the guys, everybody says, well, Tram's not in, but look, Pee Wee Reese is in. Pee Wee Reese didn't get in. Hey, Tram's not in, but look at Phil Rizzuto. Phil Rizzuto got in by the Veterans Committee. So that's what throws it off.
I'd like to ask a question, though.
What?
I'd like to make an appeal. I really think you guys have to change the way you look at starting pitching, because I think there's a lot of emphasis on 300 wins for them.
No, I think
and no other way to get in.
I think that people have relaxed that, knowing how hard it is.
Mark, well, if you relax then why would Mike Mussina not get in the Hall of Fame?
He might. I just don't look at him as that pitcher. He's had some bad years with Baltimore. I'd have to take it. You know what? And you know me, usually, it's like, if there's any debate to you, it's a no for me. So, because I'm even debating
I can't wait to get to these guys.
And before I have to look at the, you know, look at your numbers, you ask me, I go with my gut.
Okay, that was the high tier first guys in. You've got three or four of those four in the Hall of Fame. Here's your holdovers. And I will make another private appeal on Craig Biggio. 3,000 hits with no indication of steroid use. At least not that I heard. Biggio, Jack Morris.
Yes, no.
Hold on. Jeff Bagwell, Rock Raines, Tim Raines, and Mike Piazza. Where are you going?
I want to look at my book.
What book?
The book that my votes from last
year. Oh, okay. He's going to go get his book.
Hold on one second.
Well, the holdovers, those are the top voting, getting holdovers from 2012 for the 13 vote. This is for the 14 vote. Biggio, who I was stunned with 3,000. First time ever outside of Rafael Palmeiro, who will never get in because he tested positive after the baseball had a test. Biggio, first one ever to have one of those numbers and not get in the Hall of Fame with no indication of steroids.
Well, there's a suspicion. I'm just telling you, Mark, I get
it. Why does Frank Thomas not have a suspicion then?
I don't know. I'm going to give you who I voted for last year. Biggio, Bonds.
So you voted for Craig
Biggio. Clemens, McGuire, Lee Smith, and Sosa. Those are the guys that I voted for last year. So it tells you, I didn't vote for Piazza. I won't be voting for him this year. I didn't vote for
Tim Raines.
Tim Raines. So those other guys.
Even with those stolen base numbers.
Yes.
Woo. 1,000 steals.
Mark, everybody can't get in. You know, Tim Raines a Hall of Famer.
I do believe he is.
He's not.
If for the steals alone. I'm not surprised by Piazza. I'm glad you and you mentioned Sammy Sosa.
What?
So you've gone with guys who don't have a positive test on base.
Have I not been consistent?
They're on Mark McGuire too.
Consistent.
You'll vote for him every year, right?
Every year. So he only gets 30%. Always you'll figure out.
You're one of the few that does it. You really are.
But you know what was
and
funny?
Lee Smith, you're like the last guy.
When I was at ESPN, this was the funniest thing. When we talked to baseball writers, the guys who work there who are baseball writers and voters. Buster Olney and Peter Gammons. Peter's not there anymore either. But at that time, we were all on the same page. Me, Buster, Peter, and Tim Kirkchin were all on the same page. You cannot.
That if you don't have a positive test on record,
you cannot vote for them. I just.
That's so succinct to me, though.
This doesn't make sense.
We said this when it first came down. I said, if you don't have a positive test on record, you can't hold it against them.
You can't hold it against even suspicion. You don't know.
Even if he told you afterwards.
Right. That's how I am. I'm even on it. I'm just.
How would you like it if a cop came to your house and said, "Hey, 8 years ago we caught you going 90 on the highway. We need you to come in now and pay a fine." You'd fight it all day to Sunday.
I always said that, Mark. If the state of Michigan said, "Hey, we know that you during the 70s, Mark Wilson, you didn't use your seatbelt. We're sending you tickets."
We don't have it. On
we didn't
Google.
Have it on, right. We didn't have a rule, a law. But we know you didn't wear your seatbelt, right?
So we're sending you.
Now we're sending you
an S load of tickets. I almost said a swear word.
Exactly.
All right, let me bring up other names. These are the new Tigers on the ballot. Rob, I'll give you one by one. You say yes or no. Sean, the Mayor Casey.
No way, no how. Stop it.
Dimitri Young.
No way, no how.
Hideo Nomo. Two no-hitters.
No way, no how.
Todd Jones, your buddy TJ. Roller coaster, Ernie.
No way, no how.
Ah, the roller coaster. Ernie Harwell gave him the name of the roller coaster. God bless you, Ernie. And Kenny Rogers.
No way, no how.
All right, last...
That doesn't mean that they didn't have great, you know, really good careers, Mark, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody.
Well, you should get your ballot soon, because January 8th is when the announcement...
Yeah, no, it'll be coming any day now.
Last year for Jack Morris. This is his last...
It has to be in. It has to be in December 31st, so it'll be here. And probably tomorrow, I bet you do.
Well, it's moving right along here.
Right.
Last year for Jack Morris. Any way, shape, or form on Jack getting in by the baseball writers?
No, you know what? The sign was bad last year. He didn't move up in a percentage of votes. Normally, Mark, as you move on, like your percentage goes up and up to get there. He didn't move last year. Actually, he stayed stagnant. That's a bad sign.
Tram's 13th year. Any movement you think on Trammell?
It was the same thing. There's no movement.
Lee Smith's 12th year.
No. I mean, I'm one of the consistent guys who votes for him, but not enough.
Don Mattingly's 14th.
No. Mattingly had four of the greatest years ever as a player. You know, hitting what? That's all he had. And then he had a back injury.
Expansion era committee, no longer veterans, called the expansion era committee, this particular one, meets on December the 9th. Here's the names they'll be voting on. You tell me. You don't have a choice on this. They do. Joe Torre, yes or no in the Hall of Fame?
He's going to get in for managing. You know what I mean?
Tony La Russa.
He'll get in for managing, yeah.
Bobby Cox.
Yep, they'll all get in.
He's your buddy.
One World Series.
How about Atlanta getting a new baseball stadium after building Turner Field in 97?
I didn't see that story.
Yeah, $650 million stadium in Atlanta.
For what?
So check it out. But they already have the artist rendering and everything. They don't want to keep Turner Field. They want a new stadium. Don't ask me.
Mark, that ballpark is beautiful. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Where is it going to be?
I didn't look at the location. I'm assuming they're going to dump Turner Field. They're going to keep it for anything. Probably right on the site. And I don't know whether they'll play after, you know, for that year.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. $650 million, they're going to commit to that. I don't know what they want.
In this economy?
Dude, look it up. Marvin Miller, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
George Steinbrenner?
Yes.
Steve Garvey?
No.
Tommy John?
Yes.
Look at you.
I played 25 years. I don't know. You know what? Tommy John is like a real...
You said yes immediately. You like to say your gut feeling was he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Because we have Tommy John surgery. No, I don't know. I mean...
Well, that's a deal. Why not? He defined a generation of pitchers.
I don't know.
And Billy Martin.
Billy Martin's going to get in, too.
That's a lot of guys who could get in. This one. Boy, Smoltz, you made a mistake by playing that extra year.
So what's he going to go next year?
I know, but he wanted... should have gone in with Maddox and Glavin. What did he get to play for? To go for the Cardinals and the Red Sox? Some quick Tiger business. Brian Peña was signed by the Cincinnati Reds. So he's definitely, well, at least looks like he's off the board. So he ain't coming back anyhow. Brad Ausmus did keep Jeff Jones, as you know, and they hired Dave Clark.
Dave Clark 5?
Dave Clark 5. He'll be the third base coach. And I want to mention Bill Brown. He did officially retire. Billy Brown, the old traveling secretary.
Brownie.
Brownie's been around since 1965. He, like Brad Ausmus, went to Dartmouth. So he's a very smart Dartmouth Ivy League kind of guy. But Billy Brown, after all those years, you know, literally started with the Tigers, Rob, a year after you were born. That's how long Bill Brown worked for Jim Campbell and company with the Tigers and all the many years after Jim Campbell was gone. Say something nice about Brownie so I can promote it.
No, Brownie's the best. Matter of fact, whenever I see him, I always say, Brownie, you know what he calls me? Hey, Mr. Meringue. He used to always call me like a lemon meringue pie, and I was easiest pie.
Where did he get that from?
He used to call me, hey, Mr. Meringue. That was like we see each other. I call him Brownie, he called me Mr. Meringue. So it's just funny. He's a great guy, great to be around, very helpful. One of the favorite people around the Tiger organization. I really like
Bill Brown. Really kind of the last of the Mohicans, too, with all the Lou Matlins and other people through the course of time that have been in that organization, Jimmy Devolano, for so many years. It's going to be weird not seeing Bill Brown around there anymore. Brian Britton taking that job? Is that what his job is going to be?
He has it now.
I didn't know if it was a permanent basis.
No, it did. Yeah.
So he's now, Brian Britton is now the traveling secretary. Brian was in the PR office for many years. Got funny stories with Brian Britton. And any other, do you have any other Tiger mole stuff or any other Tiger riffraff?
No, the only thing I had was the team that if the Tigers are interested in moving Max Scherzer, the Nationals, they have this... top prospect, second baseman.
The Washington Nationals.
Yes.
You know I hate.
Anthony Rendon. He's a second baseman. They also would
Boring.
Have, they also would have what's his name? Storen from the bullpen. It was their closer before Soriano got there. They have the pieces part. They're able to facilitate a trade that the Tigers might want. So that's a name up there.
Last thing I want to bring up, just a little, almost a shout-out for him, is that professional golf is back in Michigan for the first time since the Buick Open left in 2009. The LPGA is returning. Rob loves the LPGA, the Ladies Golf Tour. This is the first LPGA event since 2000, the Oldsmobile Classic at Walnut Hills in East Lansing. The LPGA Meyer Classic at Blythefield Country Club in Grand Rapids, August 7th through the 10th, 2014. It coincides with Meyer's Simply Give charity program. It's good that we went from having five at one point professional golf tournaments, two LPGA, two seniors, and a PGA, to zero professional golf tournaments in the state of Michigan. We now have one back
why
on the LPGA
that?
Tour.
Sponsorship money. That's why they stopped playing golf.
Well, obviously the Buick Open left when we started to bail out General Motors.
No, that's what
they couldn't do. They couldn't give $5 million to promote golf tournaments when they're bailing out people losing jobs.
That's what I'm saying.
But that was the only one that left because of that.
Well, but the one it was.
Well, Oldsmobile Classic. Oldsmobile went away.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But it's mostly money. Why they don't have them anymore?
Well, I want the senior tour, but I did make an appeal to the PGA and Tim Fincham and the rest of them that they really should find a way to get the PGA now that the car companies are back and that stuff is fine and the Dow is at 15,000. They should find a way to get a PGA tournament back in the state of Michigan. You had it for all those years. Buick Open was the first ever tournament with a corporate sponsor. Previous to that, the Sam Sneeds and all those old players of the world played in the Pensacola Open or the Detroit Open. It was always named after the city they were in, for the most part. And the Buick Open was the first one ever given a corporate sponsor way back in 1958.
How impressive were you that I went to get a book and have the guys I voted for?
Dude, if you don't have that, then I would have been unimpressed. I mean, if you don't even have that, of course,
I
just think you just did it off the top of your head.
I can't remember all that stuff.
So there you go, Meyer Classic. Go get your tickets in the G-Rap in Blythefield Country Club. Glad that something's back. So good for them. Rob, any final news and notes you got? Anything?
No, that's it. We're all good.
You all taken care of?
Yep, what do you say?
Promotable?
Check out Sports Edition every Sunday night at 11:30 or after the football game. You can check it out. And that's it. And I told you my column about the Dolphins on the shadowleague.com. So check that out as well.
What do I got? You know what? Go to my YouTube page and check out my Fox 2 stuff. I haven't promoted that for a while. I want to get more hits on that. It's YouTube. Just type in Mark Wilson Fox 2, and you have hours of viewing enjoyment. In fact, if you look at my baseball segments, I just saw this. Do you know who's playing and could be in the major leagues by the end of this year? And on my baseball segments, he's a little tiny, I want to say 5-year-old kid running around in Lakeland, Florida. He's a 5-year-old kid. I've got him running around. I'm even pitching to him in the video. It's my baseball segments on YouTube, Fox 2 segments. Do you know who it is?
Who's that?
And he's a junior, by the way. Mark Leiter Jr.
Really?
Mark's kid.
I'm a right-handed pitcher, Mark
Leiter. I forget if it was the Phillies organization. I was just looking at this in Baseball America, and he said that he could be looking at a September call-up this year.
Wow.
He's going to be in AAA, and I can't believe that kid is now 20. He'd be 22 years old. That was in 1996.
Scary.
I know. That couldn't have been 16 years ago. That was 1996.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. Parker and the Man at yahoo.com if you want to win an ESPN Detroit t-shirt. He's Rob Parker.
He is the man, Mark Wilson. We'll see you next week on this podcast. Hey, Mark.
Yo, Rob.
NBC later.
Oh.